dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
This is the news according to me. Oh, how far we have come from that dream. The once hailed speaker on the left, once I'm just at a lack of words right now. He was the man who really was the voice for the African American, the black community. And his vision, his dream resonated with people at that time. And it was a different era. It was an era of understanding individual liberty. And human rights. And today we are not there. The radical leftists have used the oppressed and the minorities as a tool to stay in power. And even if they put someone in place in power, that doesn't matter. Barack Obama was the president of the United States. What did he do for his community, so to speak? I would contend, first of all, let me just say that we're all one race. We're in the human race. And I know that doesn't mean much to people who are radicalized on one side or the other. But this idea that we somehow are segregated into identities of whatever it is, skin color, or the supposed orientation of whatever you are. All that stuff, frankly, and I'm gonna go here, but it's when you're kneeling at the cross that doesn't matter. The only color that matters is the color of the blood that covers you. So, having said all that, was Martin Luther King Jr. a perfect man? Was he a fine example? Some would say that there were some issues there that were just as bad as Donald Trump. I know that's probably blasphemy to say that. But there were personal issues. He had some issues. He's a human being. So on this day that we call the Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I just want to examine a little bit about what's going on in our country today. It is no secret. It is, you know, for those who are with their eyes wide open and what in terms of what's going on and what history has done, those who remember history and have seen what has happened over the course of the last 50 years. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember 50 years back. A little bit longer than that, actually. And where we've come from and where we are today is very stark difference. If you took a snapshot of 1965 and you looked at, or 1960 and you looked at 2020 and where we've come. So, all that said, this is a week ahead of us that in the previous weeks, the few weeks, months behind us, are really a, the reason there's so much tumultuous activity going on, there's so much uprising and emotions are high, is because our nation is truly at a pivotal point. We are really, I would say, at a tipping point. And maybe we've already gone past that tipping point. If you know anything about physics, you can actually be past the tipping point before the tipping point starts to take action. You're kind of behind the power curve. You're, you know, you've already gone beyond the point of no return. You've already gone down the slope so far that it's slippery enough that you can't get back out of that. So the coming week is going to have a lot of news. We already had a lot of news over the weekend, and a lot of things happened. A lot of things still happening. Things are being exposed and revealed and covered up and tried to be covered up and all kinds of other issues. And of course, filling in the blanks, everybody always likes to fill in the blanks of things that they don't know. It's becoming a mess of emotion and reaction instead of response in our nation today. And it's deeply troubling. I'm hoping that later today, hopefully, Rabbi Rick will be on the show with me this afternoon, and we can discuss a lot of the news events and what our theories are on what's going to happen here in a little, you know, to foretell the future of what's going to happen this week. Just what our opinions are and what's happening. So there is first of all, let me say this. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing and sharing this podcast. And just a quick note that we have determined that I do have a Gab account now. I'm going to start posting the link to the podcast on Gab as soon as I can get all the technical stuff arranged and done so that we can get some quality live stream onto Gab. My understanding is you can live stream on Gab. I haven't figured that out yet. I've just been told that. So if that's possible, also MeWe is another place that you can find me. And I think Telegram will be the next place we get on. There'll be some other social, but just about every social media platform we can find that we can post the podcast onto. My understanding is that Parler is about to come back online with their website. I don't know at this hour whether or not they have or not. I looked this morning and I did not see at least Parler.com, P-A-R-L-E-R. Don't go to Parler with an O-R. That could be dangerous. And I'm assuming it's still .com. I don't know for sure if they've changed it to .org or .something else. So that could be the problem. But when you go to .com, it just says that they're down. So that out of the way. There is more and more information coming out about this John Sullivan guy. I don't even know where to start this morning. I'm just gonna jump into whatever's on my notes here. So this might be a little bit scattered. I have been frantically taking notes all weekend on what's been going on in the world. Recently, there was I was noticing from a lot of different platforms. I think even Mark Dice had it on this morning. A couple of other places were playing. I think Right Side Broadcasting Network, which is an excellent network as well. They're not quite as big as OAN or Newsmax, but they do just as, I mean, they're out there on the streets. They're beating the streets. They do excellent reporting. That's another one. All those three, now they are also under attack right now, by the way. There's people on the right, people on the left who are saying that they have radical views, the radical views from the right. If you're on the right, you're a radical right now. Let's just make that clear. If you're a considered right wing, if you're considered conservative, Republican, other than a Republican who is like a Liz Cheney or a Mitt Romney, who aren't really Republicans at all. Might be one issue they disagree with the Democrats on, and that's abortion. That's about it. And that's not even genuine. That's disingenuous for them to even say that. And just along this line, let me just say something for those of you, those of my Christian brothers and sisters. Who are Democrats. I don't know how to say this nicely, so I'm just going to say it, and I'll apologize for whatever way I offended you later, because I don't know any nice way to say this. You're aligning yourself with a party who has a major part of its platform. A major part of its platform, vehemently protected, is the killing of an unborn child. You're aligning yourself with that party. Why? May I please ask you why? Because Donald Trump has mean tweets. Because right-wing Republicans want to take away health care. Really? Right-wing Republicans want to take away your welfare. Really? Have they even started doing that? Because Donald Trump is a pig. Really? You haven't looked into some of the things that politicians on the left have been doing for years. Regardless of that, it's not even based on that. Let's not even look at that. Let's just look at policy alone. They get accused of being demagogues, of being dictators. I'll tell you, if Donald Trump was a dictator, he was the worst dictator ever that has ever been. The left is cheering on and encouraging and actually saying that the big tech has not done enough to censor people on the right. Who's the dictator? Who's the fascist? When someone breaks into a restaurant holds their fist in someone's face who just wants to sit down and have dinner and tells them that they have to repeat back a slogan and yells in their face and tells them they have to say that slogan or there will be no peace. They will start drinking their drinks and eating their hamburgers right off their plates, or worse, just start tipping over the tables. This has happened. If you don't say a certain phrase, a certain three-word phrase, that's fascism, folks. That is the epitome of fascism. We have that happening now. And we have a media, and the legacy media, that goes right along with it. Why is there so much hatred towards pro-lifers? Think about that. To my friends and fellow believers who are Democrats, I would challenge you with that. Maybe you don't want to be a one-issue voter. Well, for that child, that issue is the only issue that matters. It really is. And for those of you in the certain movement, certain lives that matter, I would say that should matter to you because the highest percentage, especially per capita, the highest percentage of abortions are to the black community. So don't feed me that line. And so, yeah, so I went down a rabbit hole there. That wasn't even in my notes, but I just had to say that this morning. So let's talk about the news. Let's talk about what happened a couple weeks ago at the Capitol and everything that's been breaking down. John Sullivan is now being discovered as being a phony individual that basically, well, let's just say he was in an advertisement for Uber. There's video of him now that is showing him at the rally the day before, would have been on Tuesday, the day before the deadly attack on the Capitol. I keep hearing that in the news as well. That's the way they're framing the Capitol as the deadly attack on our Capitol. Now that pushes it out there in a way that it makes it sound like those who did the attack were the ones doing the killing. And the first one killed was an unarmed woman shot through a window in the neck. I don't know that anyone's found any arms, any guns, any weapons other than, at least any firearms. Anything can be a weapon, but there were no firearms on anybody that they caught inside the building that I know of. Highly unusual for somebody trying to take over and kill everybody. So we're getting a lot of bad information from the news media in general. They want us to trust them. They lied to us for years over this whole Russia thing that they knew was a hoax. And it's because they had these hopes of getting Trump out of office because of their hatred for this guy. A hatred that was fueled by misinformation and disinformation from the higher-ups, especially from the deep state. Because the more I have looked into what's going on at the FBI, at CIA, NSA, there is a tremendous amount of bureaucracy that these evil people hide behind. And a lot of what we get from our representatives is, you know, that's all we hear. They're not saying anything because they probably have dirt on them. They don't dare infringe. They don't dare push into this thing. Speaking of which, Lindsey Graham over the weekend was being interviewed by Maria Bartiromo. She has been aggressive and she's just been a pit bull about some of these things. And she's not, no, she, even though she's on Fox Business, she's not letting go of some of these guys. She's going right after them. And it's, you know, good for her. She ended up going after Lindsey Graham. And I'm going to pick on him again. He's my favorite person to pick on, apparently. And she confronted him about this whole thing about the Crossfire Hurricane interview. And it was a big deal because, you know, he had claimed he wasn't going to rest until he got to the bottom of this. This was a couple of years ago when the whole investigation was coming out. And after the Mueller report and some of the things that were being said, Jim Jordan had dug into some things and was touting off. You know, he basically had it nailed from day one. He said, this is what happened. You know, the whole FISA court issue with the dossier and the whole thing. He was saying it every time he had a chance to speak into a microphone. He was telling the whole story. And I mean, he had it down pat. He could run it off. He could run that whole story off in like 30 seconds. And it got kind of old, but you know, they don't play the news bites enough, so people don't hear about it. So he has to keep saying it because it's the only way you can get through to the general populace, because there's a lot of people who aren't paying attention. So Lindsey Graham squirmed in his chair as he usually does and acted all righteous about it, said he was going to get to the bottom of this. So Maria Bartiromo confronted him on it, said, you said you were going to do this. Some people are mad at you because you said you were going to do something about this. You were going to dig into this, look into Crossfire Hurricane. Nothing has happened. Well, I had hearings. He said, I had hearings. And if I can find this audio, I might try to play it for you later. But, you know, I had hearings. And we did all this exam. She goes, well, but you have subpoena power. He goes, because I'm not a prosecutor. I can't do anything. He goes, and she said, well, you have subpoena power. He goes, well, I did. I subpoenaed records and we're waiting for, you know, wait. But basically what he's saying is, yeah, he can get them before Congress and ask him all these questions, but he can't do anything about it. So let me fill in the blanks for you here, folks. It is a show. It is a dog and pony show to make them look like they're going after somebody. And what they don't understand is these people stand before Congress and they simply say, I don't remember. I don't have that information for you. I can get it for you later. I'll have to tell you that in a special closed door session because there's security issues involved. I can't tell you that because it's an ongoing investigation. I can't tell you that because whatever. I can't tell you that because I just don't feel like telling you. They get away with this because Congress is a joke. It has become a joke with regard to congressional investigations. It's a big political game. And they have the audacity to run through a kangaroo court impeachment without any hearings at all. Because it was all just because they had the votes. And those votes were based on emotional hatred of a man. And it amazes me how, and I keep talking about, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about the double standards and the hypocrisy on the left. Okay, first of all, they don't care. Okay, we can't keep challenging them on hypocrisy because it means nothing to them. You can point out their hypocrisy all day long. It will not faze them. It doesn't matter to them because the end justifies the means. Their only principle that they have is that the end justifies the means. So pointing out the hypocrisy doesn't affect them. They have no conviction over that. So just stop with that, because you're wasting your breath. They don't care. They don't care that they said one thing back in 2016 or 2017, and now it's totally different. After the election in 2016, we have the other candidate still hasn't accepted the results of 2016. The candidate who lost. We have people who were, they damaged, I mean, talk about it, the riots that happened in 2017 and the day of the inauguration even. D.C. was a mess. And if you start looking into some of the places where, I should say some of the people and organizations that are supplying the manpower and the bricks and the all the other stuff that happens for the destruction of, you know, they go in, they destroy personal property because they know that gets more people upset. They did, and they did at one point break into the Capitol building and occupied it when there was a certain Supreme Court judge that was trying to be nominated. We forget about that. They were beating on the door of the SCOTUS building, Supreme Court building, and if they could have torn it down, they would have. I mean, then what? Was that an attack on our democracy? Was that an attack on our temple of democracy? And it amazes me how even the Republicans jump in with this and start, you know, conflagrating the issue, that they start escalating this whole thing with all the rhetoric, and it's all because they were the ones who were attacked, they were the ones who were threatened. Well, guess what, folks? The American people are feeling threatened right now. You know, you guys always like to stand up there in the podium and talk about the American people are scared and they need money now. We need to just build a pass because the American people are scared or the American people are hurting. They don't know what they're going to do. Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Usually you speak for us in that regard and you're usually wrong. You're just putting words in our mouths and we're not afraid. Okay, and this is our opportunity to let you know we're not afraid. And we're certainly not afraid of you. I guarantee you, you keep poking this bear, it's not going to be a few windows broken. And there are people who literally do love this country and they love democracy. They love what this republic stands for. And the republic doesn't live in a building. The republic lives in the hearts and minds of the people who are living in it, who understand it, who are living it out every day. So just go ahead, keep trying it. See what happens. I'm not condoning what's going to happen, but I can tell you right now it's not going to end well. It's going to be a mess. And it's, you know, they keep the bureaucrats and the people in the Congress, they keep blaming, you know, pointing fingers at this happened, this is why this happened, this is why that happened. I'll tell you what happened. What happened is there's been a failure in our Congress. Look at the approval rating of Congress. It's ridiculous. Talk about the approval rating of the president. His is higher than the Congress's is. The current sitting president has a higher approval rating than the Congress does. And it's no wonder. Well, run through a few things in the news, probably some things that Rick and I will talk about again later. Just going to touch on some things. So the Gab is having a hard time because their bandwidth is not enough to keep up with everything that's going on. Parler may be coming back online in terms of the website anytime in the near future. Obviously, the mobile app is a big part of what they're going to have to do because of the... That is where a lot of people check in with them. John Sullivan is an issue. The whole Jack Dorsey issue with Twitter. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. The expose that Veritas did, there's more coming out on that as well. And Dorsey has said some things that obviously they're not going to stop with this, the censoring and all the stuff that they're doing. We'll talk maybe a little bit about QAnon and the ridiculousness of that and how that's being... Yeah, there's I understand people want to put their hope in some kind of thing out there that they can't see that's going to behind the scenes, that this is all part of the plan, whatever, whatever. Hunter Biden and the special counsel, talk about that a little bit. That's kind of been really quiet lately, but we'll talk about that a little bit. Don Lemon, again, just saying that this is a racist, lying president and asking the questions of how did we get here? Well, ask yourself that. You're the one with the rhetoric. Peter Francis Dager. He was a guy that was actually assaulted a Capitol Police officer with the flag. And that's become a big deal. And it should be. Guys, they shouldn't have done that. And there's now suddenly getting on to the COVID issue, of course, because now we have to talk about COVID. The whole COVID issue now is, here's what's happening. It's gone away. Believe it or not, February 1st, Michigan, state of Michigan, we need to open up the economy. Oh, these businesses are hurting. We can't do this anymore. Governor Cuomo is saying, we have to open up now or we'll have nothing left to open up. Huh. What has changed? What exactly has changed? But that's what he's saying. By the end of this month, he wants to have everything open back up again. By February 1st, Governor Whitmer, as Rabbi Rick would say, Whitler, wants to have sit-down dining again in Michigan. Everything opening back up again. Now, of course, supposedly, starting in February 20th, we're going to have a 100-day mask mandate. Because, you know, masks, they're magic. I'm not going to get into this, you know, too much, but let's just say last year, we didn't wear masks. This thing was out there. We didn't know about it until February, March. It was here. We weren't wearing masks. It started to decline again in the spring. And then came back with the second wave in the fall. And now everybody's masked up and it doesn't... Yeah, well, anyway, I'm not going to get into that. Here's the thing about the mask. The mask is a false... I'm going to go here. And then, now, please hear me out on this. It is a false sense of security. And here's what I mean by that. Here's the problem with that. The only studies that have been done that are peer-reviewed scientific method studies show that it can be possibly 2 to 3% effective on the virus, not on bacterial stuff. There's other things that it does protect you from. But bacterially, it does not protect you more than about 2 to 3% because there's a lot of different various reasons. In fact, some types of masks increase the vaporization of your breath and create a bigger cloud of basically communicable air, if you will. So that's the issue here. Now, the thing about the, now where I'm going with this, I'm not going to talk about the effectiveness of the mask as much here, but here's the thing. When you wear a mask, you feel like you have this protection, so you don't social distance. You don't wash your hands. Or you touch the mask and you don't wash your hands between. All the stuff you're breathing through that mask is getting collected in the mask, and when you touch it, it's on your hands. When you cough or sneeze into that mask, now you're continuing to breathe that material. For how long? It's being vaporized now in that mask, which I think is disgusting. There's a video of a guy who takes off his mask, and he's in Congress, takes off his mask. Of course, he coughs into his hand, which he should not have done. He coughs into his hand and then puts the mask back on. Well, that's better than coughing into the mask. Trust me, because now you're just going to be continuing to breathe that stuff that you just blew into the mask. And it's going to vaporize. It's going to, you know. But the problem is we've stopped doing the social distance 6-foot thing and stopped washing our hands. Those two things and not touching your face. That is absolutely scientifically proven to do a lot more. That's like 65% effective. the mask is nowhere near that in terms of scientific study effectiveness. So that's where I am with the mask thing. Mask up if you, you know, wear a mask if you want to. It's, I'm against the mandate that we should all wear masks for 100 days. You know, everybody realizes that's over 3 months. And I assume they're going to make you wear it when you're driving around in your car by yourself. If you're not wearing your mask driving in your car, the cop's going to pull you over. Or some lady's going to yell at you in a store because you're not wearing your mask. And actually, she's, by getting into an argument with you, she's spreading more germs than just being quiet. If you walk around with your mouth closed, it's probably just as effective if you're staying 6 feet away as it is. Now, when you're talking, you're spitting. There's no question about that. But spit is not aerosolized for the most part. Most of it, you know, you still have vapor coming out of your lungs, but it's not the same thing. If that spit gets on that mask and you continue to breathe through it, now you're aerosolizing that saliva. But I digress. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a virologist. I just read a lot of stuff. So, well, I don't really read it. I watch a lot of videos. But I do read some stuff. And as long as there's pictures. So anyway, there's John Paulus, Dominion CEO, Eric Coomer. Those guys have disappeared. My understanding is Jack Dorsey, I don't know, I'm just all over the place kind of here. Jack Dorsey's on some French Polynesian island right now, hiding. I wonder why he feels threatened. Here's a report that you need to listen to. This was a really good report. There's a channel called Counterpunch, and it's by this New Zealand guy. He's a Kiwi, has that accent. His name is Trevor Loudon. He has a thing called Counterpunch, and he talks about how communism works. I would encourage you to watch that. Look it up. Counterpunch by Trevor Loudon. It was the one he put out, I think, on Friday, I believe, the report he put out. It's worth listening to. He goes through an entire series of things in the way communism, socialism, and communism, which... Folks, socialism is a half a step away from communism, and it basically is communism light. And what you don't realize is that once socialism is in within the community, when it becomes the overall operating system within the country, you're basically sliding right into communism. So. And socialism in and of itself is evil enough. So, now here's an interesting little fact. Nancy Pelosi is responsible for overseeing half of all the impeachments that have ever happened in this country. Almost half, I think, if I remember right. So there's Clinton. Basically, Nixon wasn't actually impeached. I don't think he wasn't. It wasn't completed before he resigned. Who was the other guy? I did a report on him in high school. I can't remember what his name was, or maybe it was grade school. So there haven't been that many impeachments in our country, but Nancy Pelosi has overseen almost half of them, and both of them have failed. Just interesting. So then we have. I've already talked about that. Why did I put that down twice? So then there's, maybe it's important. So John Sullivan, the BLM thing. Jake Chansley, he's the horned man, is still out there fighting. And here's the problem I have with that whole situation. They're now showing his picture because he has kind of become the poster child of the deadly attack on our nation's capital. And so they're talking about, they'll have the headline will be something about, you know, more people are dead, or this, the people who planned on breaking in and killing or arresting and kidnapping, whatever they were going to do to some of the nation's representatives. And they'll show this guy's picture. I would sue them for that. If it wasn't his intention, and they're using him as the face of that. They're putting his life in danger. He's not the one who had that idea, as far as I can see. Everything I've seen about this guy is not. He's not the guy who was planning on going in there and what was he going to do? Run him, you know, hit him with his horns. Yeah, ridiculous. So then there's let's see here. We have Israel 365. That is a channel on YouTube I would recommend as well. They've got some interesting reports on there. Sometimes the content is a little bit, it's not that pertinent, but sometimes it's really good. Kind of gives you a really good perspective on, I know some of you folks are, think that Jews are the problem with all the world, but that's not the case. So then, what else we got here? Issues of, the issues. Okay. Let's go there. There's still this rhetoric about, the 230 clause in the, which is the thing that the social media hides behind to keep from getting sued. 230 will work, but that's going to take a lot of time to change anything because there's a lot of lawsuits that have to be filed. You have to win the lawsuits. You're filing lawsuits against organizations that have billions of dollars. How is that going to really change anything? And those billions of dollars get trickled back to candidates, regardless of whether you, and that in and of itself is very troubling because of the, on both sides of the aisle, but they pay off people. They have people in their pockets. And speaking of candidates, we have Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and some of the Republicans in the House are being now threatened to be expelled, to be censored, to be impeached because of their support of the objection to the election, to electors, much like the Democrats did in 2017. But all of a sudden, this is now a crime because of what happened on the Capitol. These people are livid and hysterical. And there's not going to be any calming them down. They're out for just the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard. It's just that it's a reaction from them it's dangerous, literally dangerous. SCOTUS is supposed to have some rulings on the election, believe it or not, on the 24th, I think is the next one coming up, kind of a little too late. They're going to rule, yeah, well, this would have been a big deal, but since it's already done, it's too late. Stop the Steal is being banned from everybody. The Bar Association is going after Rudy Giuliani. I think I talked about that last week a little bit. Here's something. The guys who did the forensic studies on the Michigan voting machines wanted their identities kept secret because they didn't want that getting out into the public. The judge who kept the forensic results secret wouldn't allow anybody to see the results of the forensic study is doxing the people who did them. He's releasing the IDs of the people who did the voting machine thing, but he's not releasing the results of the voting machine. Now, we do have information coming out that, yes, definitely, those machines are designed for switching votes and doing all this stuff. Of course, Mitch McConnell it's going to be interesting to see what happens when Schumer gets into office, when they start the new Senate, and whether or not they pick up the impeachment trial. This is becoming a big deal, because if they try to impeach Trump after he's left office, a lot of people are saying it's just unconstitutional. It's not going to be doing it. That won't stop them. They don't care whether it's constitutional or not. They'll still do it. And then they'll argue about it later on when Trump tries to run again in 2024, if that's what's going to happen. Some reports last night happened. Here we go. I'll get into some of the conspiracy theories. I don't know where I was going with that. The timeline with Trump's speech, that's been a big issue. the Capitol Police and the Seattle Police are, there are people backing the protests. Okay, now we have like 21,000 individuals, National Guard troops in D.C. There is apparently a concern among the higher-ups that some of those troops may be organized to attack the Capitol. What's going on? Kristen Clark, I'm sorry, is being put into a position high up in the cabinet in the Biden administration. Oh, I know where I was going to go with that. And apparently she believes, along with a lot of her people around her, that melanin, the thing that makes a person dark-skinned, is a part of their brain, and it makes them superior to white people. People who don't have melanin are not as... they go through all this stuff. They're not as smart. They're not as strong. They're not as they're not as emotionally connected. They're not as warm and loving as people who don't have melanin. This lady's going to be in the cabinet. But of course, everybody that was on Trump's cabinet was racist, even the black people. But you can't be racist if you're black. But they're black. So they're... this gets back to double standards and hypocrisy. But all of a sudden, Kristen Clark now with this weird theory that she does not deny. She's been asked about it and will not backtrack on that statement. Really bizarre. So they're going after Newsmax and OAN now. I don't know if I didn't cover that earlier. I didn't quite get into that. Newsmax and OAN is the next target from the right, from the left. The leftists are coming after them now because of their radical reporting, radical ideas, ideology that they're pushing, which is basically they're just reporting the news, like the Epic Times. They just report the news, the facts. And they do have some commentaries. They do have some definite slant on some of their commentaries, but they just report the news. They just show you the facts of what's going on, the documents. It's just bizarre. So now there's other, getting into the conspiracy theory issues, there's some other things about Trump, what's going on. People are still holding out hope that possibly something's going to happen on the 19th or the 20th. Folks, have all the hope you can, and let's see what happens. We're not in a position where we can really change anything, so we just have to kind of see what's going to happen. We'll see what happens. And some people last night were saying, I woke up this morning, and there were some reports scattering across this, some same people that kind of spin the Q stuff and all the background military intelligence stuff. They're saying the president did sign the Insurrection Act last night. What I understand of the, I've read through the Insurrection Act. I cannot figure out how that's supposed to change anything. I can't understand exactly what they're planning to do there. So we're gonna leave it at that. And this is, I don't know. The show, this morning is going to be pretty small. That's kind of all I got this morning. It's just, me and the microphone. So later today, even if Rabbi Rick can't be here on the show, I'm sure I'm going to have a chance to at least call him, because it's always fun to, get Rabbi Rick on the phone. Kind of thing. So we're going to do that. Once again, thanks for keep praying through the week, see what happens here, and we'll all believe for a better future sometime, whatever's going to happen. Yeah, I'm praying for you. Keep praying for me. Let's pray for each other, get through this, and see what happens. God bless everybody. Talk to you later this afternoon.